the opportunity for either BEP or veteran on a salt contract like this? Trucking?
Just the trucking, the transportation part of it, yes. And we didn't have a goal on our emergency procurement because it was an emergency, and we do know from the salt community, any subcontracting posed some concern from the salt providers.
Was this bid though? You said it was bid, even though it was emergency?
Number three?
It was bid though?
Yeah, we issued it to 18 different salt providers, and we received two offers. So yes, it was competitively bid. We just didn't go to one bidder, went to 18. Okay?
Any other questions on those three?
I'd just like to comment that I think I sold Morton Salt for over $100 this year.
Well, she'll be good. She's making a lot of money.
It's a tough winter.
Well, she has one.
For a 100-year-old.
Does she count as a female participation?
I don't know. I don't think so. I hope not, as a far as they call it.
Should I go ahead and continue?
Please.
Thank you. So the fourth item is a request to utilize a CMS master contract to purchase storage battery upgrades. This contract provides a source for the replacement of 694 existing storage batteries associated with installation work and removal of our old batteries. These batteries power our infrastructure for our Motorola radio network, Cisco networking hardware, and our Intellect phone system. Also includes alarm equipment at approximately 72 communication facilities, including maintenance sites, plazas, and towers. All these batteries have exceeded the end of their useful life, which is approximately 10 years, and they do need to be replaced. It should be noted that the BEP subcontractor did lose their BEP certification. We are currently working with CMS staff to determine if a new subcontractor, BEP subcontractor, will be added to this contract. Award is recommended to Storage Battery Systems, LLC, in an amount not to exceed $435,665 for this one-time purchase.
And the life of the batteries is 10 years?
Yes, that's the expected life. Which all the ones that were purchased exceed that 10 years. Okay. Fifth item is a request to renew our legislative liaison services contract with Cohen and Associates. This contract provides government relations services to assist in legislative matters that impact the tollway. The tollway does not have staff based in Springfield. Therefore, this contract allows the tollway to maintain a full-time presence during the legislative session. There is a BEP goal of 20%, which is being exceeded by the subcontractor who is headquartered in Springfield. The award is recommended to Cohen and Associates in an amount not to exceed $80,000 for a one-year final renewal term. We will soon be starting the RFP process to initiate a new contract. The sixth item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase bulk fuel. This contract provides a source for the purchase of unleaded gasoline, E85, gasoline, diesel, and biodiesel fuels, and additives for the tollway's 16 fueling locations. The bidders provide a bid differential or their delivery charge per gallon, which will be applied to each gallon of fuel that is purchased. The bid differential varies by fuel type and location. The lowest bidder on each line item at each location is recommended for award. Award is recommended to three vendors for the two-year initial term. Christian County Farmers in an amount not to exceed $11,933,819.34. Conserve FS in an amount not to exceed $937,852.14. And G. Cooper Oil in an amount not to exceed $2,693,875.54. The seventh and final item is an award of a tollway invitation for bid to purchase AON HVAC parts. This contract provides a source for the purchase of AON brand HVAC system replacement parts. These parts are used for the maintenance and or repair of our HVAC equipment located throughout the tollway system. The selected prime vendor is BEP certified, and they're also registered in the state small business set-aside program. Award is recommended to J.P. Simons and Company in an amount not to exceed $62,100 for a two-year initial term.
Tom, back at item six on fuel, the bidders provide a bid differential over the cost of the fuel from Chicago's commodities exchange. How do we anticipate? Do we have a projected variance on that as far as the cost?
Yeah, I believe, I'll tell you right now what we use. To figure out the total, the estimated total dollars we use, our fleet department provided us $3.50 per gallon for diesel and gasoline, and $3 per gallon for E85. So So that was the figure that was used to determine the upper limit.
Okay, yes.
So for some reason, prices end up exceeding those amounts.
Or cap, or...
We would have to come back...
We'd have to come back to the board.
To the board to get an additional allocation.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. And just so it's clear, too, the price per gallon is based on the day that the delivery occurs. We use that rack price for that given day.
Okay.
Any questions?
Any questions? Board, anyone? Do we have any recusals? Are there anything in the procurement? If not, do we take them all together? Any objections? There being none, do I hear a motion to approve under procurement items 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Moves to the full board consent agenda. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Engineering. Paul.
Good morning, Director.
Good morning.
Engineering has 16 items this morning. The last three I'll be asking to defer those to the board meeting next week as we deal with the land acquisition items. And the first item is a construction contract award. This is for some advanced drainage work we're going to do on the Elgin O'Hare Western Access Corridor. It's going to be between Route 83 and the Willow Creek South Tributary. We got 6 bids on this contract. Award is recommended to Marvin Construction, who's a low bidder at $4,281,308.10. They're going to commit to exceed our DB goal, and they're actually using a new DB vendor, Elf Cartage, for the first time on a toll account. Okay. Item 2, this is a construction contract award also. This is for signage improvements to various locations on the Tri-State Tollway between Illinois 394, that's at the very south end of the Tri-State up to the Hinsdale Oasis. This work is going to include installing exit numbering signage on our signs in that stretch of roadway. We received 2 bids on this contract. Award is recommended to GFS Construction, who's a low bidder, at $3,548,600.62. They've committed to meeting our DB goal. We had a sister contract to this that we brought to the board, I think, last month or the month before. And I remember Director DRC asked about how many signs we're getting on this contract. We're going to replace 10 cantilever signs with this contract, which is going to require 107 signs to be fabricated, and we're going to install 78 of those new exit on numbering panels with this contract. All right, contract item number 3 is a construction contract award. This is for the relocation of 6 miles of water main along an 11-mile stretch of the J. Nance Memorial Tollway from Barrington Road to Elmhurst Road. This work also includes some fencing and clearing, embankments, some sanitary work, some local water main work. So there is some items included in this contract besides the prime water main. The water main that we are relocating is owned by the Northwest Suburban Municipal Joint Action Water Agency. We call them NISMJAWA or JAWA. Work on the line is to be reimbursed through an intergovernmental agreement that we have with NISMJAWA. The water main serves 7 suburban communities. This contract represents a significant portion of that work included in the IGA. There will be at least two follow-up contracts to that IGA work. One is going to be the sole source 90-inch hot tap, which we discussed with the board back in February. I believe that one will be bringing to the board next month. And we also have the installation of the new 90-inch pipe between the 2 hot taps. We broke up the hot tap work separate from the other work because we know it's a very critical item, and you know, we didn't want to. We saw the sole source, and I believe we did receive approval to move forward with that. So we made that contract as small as we could get it. Today's contract includes work that's highly specialized, requires construction to be performed in a very tight schedule window. It's essential to complete this work in order to move forward with the rest of our widening and reconstruction work on the 25-mile section of the eastern portion of I-90, which we plan to do. As with engineering contract, all the engineering contract awards go through an extensive review and analysis of the bid. including some extra due diligence on this contract because we only received one bid. So the reason why I'm going through this long explanation is because we know this bid came in higher than our engineer's estimate, higher than our budget, and also we only got one bid, so I feel like I have to give you some additional background on this. And I want to tell you that the review and bid analysis that we performed, just like we do on every single contract award that I bring to the board, we first have our professional engineer who designed the contract evaluate all the bid items and issue us a recommendation on how they believe the TOWIS should proceed with the work. On top of that, our program management office goes through the exact same process independently, and they look at the bid more from the program perspective and then from all the data they had related to all the TOWIS contracts that we have going on. And they also provide a recommendation on how they think the TOWIS should proceed. Because this is only one bid, that triggers a special process that we have with procurement, which requires us to reach out to all the potential plan holders or bidders that might have considered doing this work for us, and we document the responses on a sole bid, no bid inquiry form, which I believe John's group created that form. So we did do that, and we followed up with everyone. In addition, we even asked for them to submit some of their reasons to us in writing so we could have some additional documentation. And then, because this is part of this contract is being reimbursed through the Nizam Jawa agreement, we also have to get Nizam Jawa's approval to move forward with the contract.
Paul, what were the responses when you reached out to those non-bidders, and did you get anything in writing from them?
Yeah, we did get written re-documentation of the verbal information that they had given us, and we documented on the no-bid form. What they cited as the primary reason for not bidding our job is, and why they believe that the bid prices was higher, was because we required a very tight schedule for completing this work. And the schedule is being driven by two factors. We have to perform this work on the water main during the off-peak season for water usage. So that's one of the requirements that Jawa had. They don't want to mess around with the water main during the summer months, so we're trying to get this work done over the winter, and then also before in early spring next year is when we hope to complete it. We also are planning to widen and reconstruct the I-90 corridor, and right now we have those contracts coming to the board in late September and in October to do the first phase of the widening and reconstruction. And we're going to accomplish half of the work in 2015, and our plan is to finish the other half in 2016. So we know that, putting off this contract any further is going to cause at least a one-year delay in our planned widening and reconstruction work for I-90. We believe there will be additional costs associated with that one-year delay, and the exposure to the tollway is roughly in the range of $85 million. The additional cost would be associated with loss of revenue. We know that when we do work on our roadway, unfortunately, some people don't drive on it anymore. We also know that we plan to complete the widening in 2016, and when we have an additional lane, that generates additional money for the tollway. So both of those things would be added. The loss of both of those revenue sources would be lost for an additional year. We know also that every year that we postpone the work, we're subject to some escalation. We built that into our program, but it's estimated to be 5%, and it's determined on what it actually is at the time. And we will have to go back and do some modifications to our design plans, our maintenance of traffic, and we're going to have the construction managers out for an extra year.
Back to the reasons why they didn't submit bids, they're saying because the reason was the schedule was too aggressive, and they couldn't staff up, or they didn't have the capability, or they didn't meet the criteria. The scope was too narrow. I'm trying to understand what it was, the reasoning.
The scope was not too narrow, okay. And the scope was pretty straightforward. The schedule is what they said they were concerned about meeting that schedule in the time frame that we have predicted. We know that it would require them to staff up to do it. They would have to have multiple crews. There are several. It's not a single water main location, a water main relocation that's going on. It's actually like a couple or six different locations that are being, have to be coordinated for the relocation. I mean, one reason why we didn't want to break it up is because we knew that breaking it up would require some very inefficient, or could subject us to inefficient coordination of these six multiple water main relocations occurring at the same time and going to the same source, NISM JALA, to get their approval to do it.
But when they say the schedule was too tight for them, does that mean they didn't want to take the risk of whatever damages might be claimed if they went over, or they didn't think they could do it at an effective price? I mean, what is that?
So I will resort to that use of the word risk, but I want to make it clear that unlike the hot tap, which is, that's highly, you know, specialized work.
So the hot tap is the sole source that we'll be bringing next month.
Right.
We hope next month.
And this does require some specialized service also. This pipe that we're working on is a very special type of water main. However, the risk is not associated with the actual work so much as it is with their exposure on the schedule. We did assign some very high liquidated damages, $27,000 a day for every day that they go beyond. They're allowed to shut down the pipe when they have to reconnect it. They're charged for $27,000 every day they go beyond that deep. So we did want to minimize the impact. There's 500,000 people that rely on this water main service. It's very critical to NISM JALA. It's very critical to those seven communities. So it does justify having these high liquidated damages on that work.
Do we need to obtain any additional right-of-way for the realignment, or is that going to add additional cost?
So there will be some additional right-of-way obtained for this work. We don't believe that's going to, we believe we're going to have all the right-of-way needed at the time they need to go out there and do the work. That is one of the reasons why there is some additional work in this contract. So because we have additional right-of-way, we are going to be putting up a fence, we're going to be doing some grading work, we're going to be doing some clearing work. This is work that we would have been doing, and it's more for the tollway, not so much for the water main.
The expending of the reimbursement, the IGA that we have, what percentage is that reimbursement again?
So the reimbursement will be for 49.2 million of the 54.8 that was bid, and as I mentioned, there's some additional work included in here. We're doing work for the tollway. There's about $1 million of our own work in this contract. There's about $4.5 million associated with some work at the Barrington Road interchange, the Meacham Road interchange, and also relocating a local water main for Mount Prospect. Those will all be reimbursed through separate agreements. They were not included in that IGA with NISM JALA.
NISM JALA, did they need to approve this also? Did we need to run this by them, or they did already?
We did, and I received the letter late yesterday.
But they don't need formal board approval.
They do not.
But they need to sign off that this is...
Yeah, in the IGA we say, you know, we'll share with you our bid information, and you can weigh in on, you know, whether you want to move forward with it or not. The upside of this contract is that this contractor is a very well-known contractor. It's well-known to NISM JALA. They have performed work for them before. They've done a very good job. So we feel comfortable with their qualifications and their capacity to get this job done for us.
Any further questions?
So I guess I wanted to say, in consideration of all those factors, we do recommend award to this sole bidder. It's Benchmark Construction Company, and they were the sole bidder at $54,848,000, and they've also committed to meet our goal on this.
So I appreciate the amount of time you spent on this, because I think it is important for the sole bidder to understand the background.
We are fortunate that we don't get very many construction contracts that are sole bidder situations. I think we looked in the last 2.5 years, Paul, we had
Nine out of 151, so under 6%. And we don't like to have sole bids because we'd rather have the competition. I presented the signing contract on the one before. That was an example of a contract where we did get a sole bid on that previously, and we went back out with it, and we got better pricing, and we got more than one bid. But we had the luxury of the schedule on that one, and we do not have it on this one. And I believe that if we can't move forward with this in a timely manner, we will expose the agency to additional costs.
Thank you. Thanks for the explanation.
I just have another quick question. I know that these are 40 capable bidders. Is our aggressive capital plan going to start causing a kind of a backup where guys aren't going to be able to handle as much work as we're throwing out there in the market this fast? I think in the next couple of years, where are we going to be around $3 billion? And is there that much capacity with workers and companies to be able to handle this? Because we've never been that big in just this agency, correct?
So we did make some deliberate decisions on how to lay out the program and what kind of workload to provide every year, and it was based on really the capacity that the industry showed in the previous program. So we're hovering about that $1 billion range. I mean, we have been underspending on the capital side. We heard from Mike Kelsey that the projects are still getting done, but you know, our projections, I think, on the total dollars haven't quite matched out. Also, you know, we do include some monies in that capital budgeting for contingency, so I'm glad we haven't had to use those. So we are going to finish under. We've seen some signs, though, that and heard from the industry that you know, this work is having a very real impact on them. They're responding. They are, you know, they're getting more people into the workforce, which I think is a good plan. I think that's one of the things we were hoping to accomplish with this. We have employed hundreds of other new companies, which I think was another goal of ours in this Move Illinois program, trying to get more people involved in our work. There has been some pressure I've heard on the trucking side of things. You know, they're struggling to try to get as many trucking people as they need to have. At this point, we're not recommending that we start deferring large chunks of work in the program. We know that this year is a big year for us. We know next year is going to be pretty similar to this year, and then it is going to taper off for a few years there beyond 2016.
I was just curious. Yeah. You know, this wouldn't be normal that if we're going to get one bidder as we continue to go forward.
I mean, this contract is this water main.
Yeah, so and it's unique work, I'm sure.
That's not our bread and butter type contract. It's not a roadway contract. It's not a bridge contract. So this is very unique, and it is specialized. I mean, you hear me say that whenever we get those individual or unique type contracts. And we did some extensive outreach ahead of time to try to get people interested in it. We had a lot of bidders, and we had a lot of potential bidders purchase plans. I know it was at least 11 or 12 primes. They did cite the schedule as one of the main reasons, and they cited there was other opportunities for them to bid on that they felt, you know, hey, I could do a lot better in this contract, so focus my energy on that.
We do, though, to this question, think in an upcoming board meeting, if not this month, then maybe the committee meeting next month, we're going to talk about our strategy, our bid strategy that we've developed, which is a little bit unique on the east end of I-90. Just to, again, try to maximize the competition and the number of potential bidders on those projects to make sure we're tapping all segments of the market. Small, medium, big, you know, we want everybody competing, ideally. So we'll talk about that in an upcoming meeting to get your input on and make sure you understand we are really trying to do everything we can to create as much competition in the program as we can.
Thanks.
Item, the next two items, 4 and 5, are related to extra work orders. Each one of them totals $394,500, and they're for Plody Construction, and it's compensation for their use of a second concrete plant in support of their work on I-90 West, contracts 4075 and 4077. The contractor was directed by the tollway to use two plants, and that was driven by the fact that we are using two-lift concrete pavement in the west portion of I-90. That two-lift pavement provides us with some recycling benefits because we can use additional recycled materials in the lower lift. That two-lift pavement process requires some very specific timing, and also we don't want to cross-contaminate the two mixes, so that's why we directed them to use two plants. Unfortunately, the requirement to use two plants was not as clearly stated in the contract as we would have liked it to have been, so they did pursue compensation for the use of two plants as a claim. We did engage the services of legal to help us evaluate this claim, and then also to negotiate the final amount. And they did start out significantly higher than what we're settling at here. Both contracts are nearing completion, both 4075 and 4077. 4077 is going to complete approximately 900,000 under the original award amount, and then 4075 is completing almost exactly at the award amount. So even with these claims that we're resolving here, we're not adding, you know, a lot of additional funds to these contracts above the original award amounts, and they are meeting the DBE percentages on both of these. Well, item four is an extra work order requesting funding in the amount of $394,500 on contract 475 with Plody to address the use of the second concrete plant. And then item number five.
So, I'm sorry, Paul. So, item number four. So, it was not stated in the contract, or was the original intent to have two locations?
So, it's not clearly stated in the contract. We did update our specifications, so we're not going to have this issue on our 2014 work. However, you know,
a misunderstanding.
It was. We did have other contractors in this corridor who did pursue and use two plants and had planned and bid it that way. But Plody made their case that, you know, they thought they could do it with the single plant. I didn't want to take the schedule risk, and I didn't want to risk the cross contamination and the testing of letting them try out if they could do it with one plant.
It's rectify going forward?
Yes. So in item five, that's an extra work order requesting funding in the amount of $394,500, and this is on contract 4077. It's also with Plody. That's also related to the second concrete plant. Are anticipated to meet their DB commitment. And as I mentioned, both of these jobs are nearing completion, and this will be like one of the final payments we make to them.
Did you concur that, though? The language wasn't specific to the two concrete plants that you with your professional review?
Eventually, yes. Initially, no. That's why I think they had to pursue it as a claim, because I wouldn't pay them for it just without going through the claims process.
We'll take it as a lesson learned for all of us. Everyone, not only us.
All right. Item six, this is an extra work order requesting funding in the amount not to exceed $430,000 on contract 4136. This is with FH Pash and S.M. Nielsen. And this is to provide them for funding to repair the damaged pavement and shoulders that were the result of a truck fire that occurred on the I-90 on July 25th. This extra work order addresses approximately $100,000 in temporary repairs, which we had to perform that evening to get the road back open. And then we do have to do, because of the heat of this particular fire, it did damage the permanent pavement. So we do have to replace some permanent pavement.
That was new.
That was brand new. It's about 412 yards of square yards of pavement that we're working on. Two lanes had approximately 120 feet of damage. The third lane had 45 feet. Unfortunately, it did happen during rush hour. There were significant backups. The tollway is pursuing cost recovery efforts with the trucking company and their insurance carrier. We're working very closely with Mike Kelsch and the risk manager for the tollway to make sure that we do recover these costs.
Are they going to meet their DBE?
So Passion, we're utilizing Passion, and it's purely by chance that this truck fire occurred adjacent to a construction contract, so they made the most sense to be utilized to perform this additional work for us, and they are committing that they think they will still meet their DBE commitment.
So the DBE percentage looks low because they're really not.
They've
got several more
job.
Months
yes.
to go before this work is
yes,
complete.
Yes, exactly. Item seven. Were there other questions on six?
No.
Item seven, this is a change order, extra work order, requesting funding in amount of $229,425.75. This is on contract 4603 with Plody Construction, and this is to provide funding to have them upgrade the structural strength of their single face barrier wall, which they're going to be installing along Illinois Route 390. We want to make this upgrade on this to match the current standard that we have. Our standards are driven by the guidelines of the federal agencies, ASHTO in this case, and this job was actually bid and designed well before the standard change, but because 390 is being built completely, you know, as a new corridor for us, I'd like to have a consistent design along the whole corridor, so we want to go back and add some funding to this to make this upgrade on the barrier wall. It is a safety improvement. Moving forward, we're not going to have this issue because all the current design contracts that are in progress are going to incorporate the latest standard. And it's anticipated that they're going to meet their DB goal on this one also. Item eight is a change order extra work order requesting funding in amount of $626,631 on contract 5680. This is with Passion, FH Passion SM Nielsen Associates. What I need the funding for on this contract is to remove and dispose of excess topsoil and provide some additional embankment material to offset the removal of the excess topsoil. The quantity shown in the original plans were not sufficient to cover this work. This work is necessary to meet the intent of the original contract. The contractor is going to make a good faith effort to meet the DB commitment. However, this additional work is not slated to be performed by a DB contractor.
Puts you over the second bidder, but it would have happened anyway.
Yes, it was. This one is a result of a design error in the contract plans.
All of the bidders would have had the same.
Yes, they would have had the same opportunity, or we would have required this in any other contract. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because this contract is in progress, we do go through some balancing of the final quantities. We only pay for the actual work that gets performed on these jobs, so the quantities are our estimates based on the design documents, and near the end of the job, there will probably be some deductions, but it's too early for me to predict that they're gonna come in at the same award amount. But we did see that, you know, on the two Plody contracts I discussed earlier, that the final amounts, you know, even with some of the change orders and extra work orders, they sometimes balance up themselves out. So item nine is a change order requesting funding in the amount of $351,936 on contract 5686. This is with Plody Construction to provide for additional subgrade material. This is stone. The quantity shown in the original contract plans, once again, were insufficient. This work is necessary to meet the intent of the original contract. The additional material is required because it's actually a critical component of the mechanically stabilized retaining wall. And Plody has committed to using their DB landscaper as a good faith effort in this change order work, so we know they're going to maintain their commitment to the overall DB goal. So this one, too, unfortunately, is a result of a design error.
So is this a different MBE from the original raise?
Who's the designer to on this project?
No, Regis Group will continue to do what they were intended.
And what's Del Toro?
Del Toro is a landscaping firm.
That's
Regis, I think that they do some concrete for
okay, so they're in addition.
For Plody and this contract.
But they're in addition to Regis?
In addition to Regis.
Yeah.
Yes. Not as a replacement to Regis.
Yeah, it's not as a replacement, so they may be seeking some additional DB credit for work to be performed.
Likely to be over.
Yes.
a design error. So we go back to the designer on this job, or what do we do on those errors, errors and omissions on those?
So we do have an errors and omission process, and we will, all these ones, especially the ones that are larger type ones, we do evaluate independently, and we go back to the designer to see, you know, what their explanation is for this error, and we make a decision on whether or not the tollway is owed any money on it.
Who's the designer on this project?
This, I believe, was a joint venture of Benish and B3.
Benish and B3?
Yeah, BB3. And typically, I will say, on ones that are change orders, where they're just increasing the quantities that were actively bid with unit prices, it's hard to justify any damages to the tollway because we're paying the same unit price that they included in their original bid. What we look at on these specifically is to see, you know, are we paying a premium for that unit price? It's very difficult to determine if we are paying a premium, but we do compare it to all the other bidders' unit prices, and we compare it to our historical, what we would have expected to pay for it. So that is part of our errors and omission analysis.
Thank you. On some of these where there's more topsoil than anticipated, was there soil borings that somebody should be accountable to? Or?
Yeah, we did have soil borings on this one, which did predict that the topsoil was going to be greater than. The plan showed 6 inches, and some of the soil borings showed that in areas it was up to 12 inches.
So that's the type of thing that we would evaluate as part of errors and omissions?
That's correct.
Whether they appropriately took that into account and appropriately projected quantities based on the data that was available to them, right?
Yes. And, you know, we have a very deliberate process for going through any changes we make to these existing contracts, which does require us to track them all separately. We process thousands of these changes, ATPs we call them, authorizations to proceed with the work, independently. The ones that are above $200,000, I do come to the board and socialize and get your direct approval on. There are numerous change orders, ex-work orders that work in our favor where, you know, it's offsetting. Some of the quantities are actually, you know, too high. And I think you see that when I bring the final releases, they tend to be very close to the original award amounts. But, you know, we feel, you know, it's our obligation to make sure that all these changes are being thoroughly vetted and discussed with the board so that you have your knowledge. You have knowledge of what's happening.
Well, and I will say that, you know, based on, you know, just the volume of work that we have going on, we've started that errors and omissions committee again here at the tollway to really review everything, you know, on the design and CM and, you know, professional service side of, you know, of what we do as well.
Yeah, we want our consultants to know that we're going to hold them accountable and we expect them to do, you know, good work.
It might be interesting sometime just to have a short presentation on that. What does the errors and omissions committee do? How do they do it? How often do they do it? What do they find when they do it? Just so we can get a sense of how that works.
Sure.
Plus or minus of the good news, we kind of see the bad news. Yeah. Focusing on the ones where you save for it.
Well, right. Well, and overall, I know that our the amount that we are, we're very close to the budget amount. I mean, I think it's less than 1% that we ultimately deviate from it. But we, you know, people, if companies haven't performed the best possible work for us, or there are mistakes that are made, we need to figure out, you know, what those are and what the impact is. And sometimes it's not as clear as just this dollar amount, right? Because it can be a schedule impact. It can be, or there can be other impacts that can be cumulative, or it can be, you know, fairly small overall impact with not a lot of significance. So yeah,
anything that helps us get better, I'm completely in favor of. Item 10 is a partial release of retainage and a reduction in retainage to $50,000 on construction contract 4128. This is with Lord. They don't have much remaining work left on this. I think they have to paint the bridge structure still. It's anticipated that they're gonna meet their final DBE amount when all the final payments are processed. On item 11, it's another request for partial release of retainage and reduction on retainage to $10,000 on construction contract 4130 with William Charles Construction. Once again, we believe that at the final release, they're going to be a lot closer to the PD commitment. Item 12, this is a final release of the payment in the amount of $89,823.23 on contract 4148 with Lord Construction Company. This contract's completing very close to the original award amount, and their DD is anticipated to be met. Item 13 is a request for final release of retainage in the amount of $78,155.10 on contract 5651 with RoadSafe. This one's finishing under the original award amount. We made some adjustments to the maintenance traffic plan, which did not require us to use as much temporary striping as we had included in the original contract documents. So we were able to address all the striping needs without using that temporary striping. And then the last three would be the land acquisition items.
We'll defer those to executive session to the full board?
Yes.
14, 15, and 16. Is everyone okay with the deferral to the full board? Okay. Any other questions for Paul? Okay. They're being done. I think we have one recusal on item 10. Any objections taking under engineering items 1 through 9 together? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes. This is a full board consent agenda. Item 10, we have a recusal of Director Darcy. There's a motion to approve item 10.
So moved.
Second.
Second by Paula. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. This is a full board consent agenda. Items 11, 12, and 13 are a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. This is a full consent agenda of the board. Thanks, Paul. Legal.
Thank you, Directors. Good morning.
Morning.
We have a few items. Items 7 and 8 on this agenda will be deferred to the full board to have discussion in the executive session. First three items are general utility agreements that the board has been seeing on a somewhat regular basis. This is a standardized protocol with our utility type partners in the field who may have a need due to interference with tollway work to move their facilities. And these are essentially setting out the protocols we use. These are standardized. The first one being with Sedera Networks, doing business as Light Tower Fiber. The second one with Red Speed Illinois. And the third one with Exo Communication Services. Happy to take any questions or be on this group. We've been seeing these fairly regularly.
Any questions?
No questions. Item number 4 is an intergovernmental agreement with the City of Aurora, Aurora Township Highway Department. This is in connection with the removal and replacement of the Church Road Bridge going over 88. Fairly standard type 2, what we call a type 2 bridge restructure. And in connection with this matter, to get the detour route established, which will include the Farnsworth Bridge going over 88. Some advanced prep work will be done in connection with the Farnsworth Bridge on the approach, minimal amount in the neighborhood of $10,000. This agreement will then set out the obligations for the City of Aurora for maintaining the Church Road Bridge after it's reconstructed. And our fifth item is an IGA with Fox River Water Reclamation District and IDOT. Connection with work around the Route 25 interchange, providing a fourth lane in each direction and a wider inside shoulder. There's going to be a need for the Water Reclamation District to move some pipe. Per standard practice, this will be done at the district's expense for that aspect of their pipe on tollway right-of-way. This one has a bit of uniqueness in that part of the move also encompasses movement off of IDOT right-of-way, in which the tollway will handle the cost there. The overall cost for the move is $359,127, and the tollway will be assuming $153,699.92 associated with the pipe on IDOT right-of-way. Number 6, this is consistent with our practice in connection with bond issuance. You'll recall we have a pool of 10 law firms, which we circulate work through in connection with the next issuance. Whenever that may occur, we're beginning to do some advanced market prep working with our financial advisors. So we think it's advisable to have our typical law firm placements made, and we, when at all possible, we get that approval from the board. So in connection with the next new money transaction, we would expect to utilize Chapman and Cutler as bond counsel, the Polsonelli PC firm as issuer's counsel. You recall that's the firm we did a swap with last month due to a partner's lateral move, and a recommendation for underwriter's counsel of the Quarles and Brady law firm.
This is part of the same pool rotation. These are the next firms that are up.
In our 10 firm pool, these are the next ones up, and obviously we're excited. We've already been through the pool once, and we're beginning to hand out now second and in some cases third assignments. So it's and these are obviously all very well respected Chicago firms, so we're pleased by that.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Being done, any objection to taking items 1 through 6 together? Is that okay?
Yes, it is fine.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Rules of the full consent board agenda. Items 7 and 8 will be deferred to the full board meeting next week. And is there any other finished business, Christy? Do we have any? Any new business?
No, I think there was one more thing that I wanted to. Nope, I think that's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
I don't think there's a need for executive session unless you think you need to wait.
I don't think so. One thing that I missed, that Midlothian Customer Service Center that you heard about as part of the 294-57 project, this is the temporary one that we're putting at the Secretary of State, will open next week. So you'll be seeing we're putting out a release to let people know once again that we're opening it, but just so you know that that will be happening next week. Sorry, that was the thing that I was
going to
share. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
But no, I don't think we need executive session, right?
No, thank you. Okay. Any other comments? Anything else? There being none, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.